If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final on this Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie, I am Ben. One more hour to go to get you set for your weekend all around the sports landscape. Combine weekend continues in Indianapolis. NBA action on the hardwood on this Friday night. And, of course, a huge weekend in college basketball. Our second to last, our penultimate regular season weekend at the high major level. Teams trying to stay on the right side of the bubble, trying to improve that seed line in the big dance or position themselves for a conference tournament spot in a regular season championship race. Plenty to go through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in College Hoops DRS. Should be a great third and final hour.
Absolutely, it should be. And by the way, we are going to dip our toes into the water. The ASUN, which we've been promoting for the past 2 weeks, getting off conference tournament weekend, they will start on Sunday. Yeah, there's a favorite I like, but also there is a team at over 10-1 to win that conference tournament that could be getting a key player back from injury and something you need to watch out for. How about that?
There is a team that Donnie has already profited on the last few days in Lipscomb. That will be that number one seed in the ASUN Conference tourney. We'll talk all about it in just a little bit. But DRS, we start this third and final hour by hearing from the people. It is the stretch run of this NBA regular season. We have been fully back in the association after the All-Star break for a week now. Last Thursday, everybody got back in play 8 days from that point. Who's the best team in the NBA? A rather simple question that should lead to a much larger conversation. We do that here to start off hour three and fade the public. Who is the best team in the NBA at Sports Grid on Twitter? We gave you three options. We gave you the three teams that have reached the 40-win benchmark so far this season. That would be the Celtics, the Cavaliers, and the Thunder. Cleveland, best overall record. Oklahoma City, best record in the Western Conference. Boston, the other team at 40-plus wins. And the Celtics, of course, have the pedigree as the reigning NBA champs in those NBA championship favorites. There was also a fourth option, other, and we asked for a reply. Pretty tightly contested, Donnie, among these three options with a listed team, but the Celtics do edge out the fade the public poll. Nearly 38% of the vote backing Boston, 31.5% or so on OKC. In Cleveland, despite the best record, does come in last. But other, we've got a lot of replies there as well, including a guy named Alex with a very long username. Give me the team with the greatest ball player in the world. That would be the Denver Nuggets. Hollywood Hernandez. The Celtics are just lollygagging until the playoffs, which is kind of funny, Donnie, because we've had that conversation as well. The Celtics don't seem to be overly impressive this season, and yet they're 42-17, one of those three teams right now at 40-plus wins, and they have 42 and are still the short NBA championship favorites. Which way did you vote in the Fade the Public poll?
Well, let's get a little preamble here at first. Like, there are some people listening right now at 10:05 Eastern that are already in the office right now. There are some people on the West Coast probably making their coffee, getting their day started before they head into the office, which a lot of times is a casual Friday, which means maybe you don't have to wear a suit. You don't have to wear the jacket. You can maybe wear a collared shirt, maybe a nice set of khakis, maybe some nice sneaks into the office. And why are you talking about this? Feels like that's the type of poll we got today. Who is the best team in the NBA was our poll on a Friday. Who made this? I need answers. Who made this poll up and who mailed this in for over the weekend at this point? Like, I need.
Okay, go ahead. You take it. You want to keep going, you keep going.
No, I don't think I need to take it any further at this point. I picked the Cavs because, you know, that's my boys, but who is the best NBA team on, like, what's next on Monday? Who is the best NFL team when the Eagles already won the Super Bowl? What's next? How hard is this?
Wow. I mean, that's kind of slanderous for our guy, Joe Friesen, our producer extraordinaire, who is the brains behind the Fade the Public poll question each and every day. I kind of agree with Friezo. We've got a big game in the NBA tonight, of course, between those top two teams in the Eastern Conference. That would be the Celtics and the Cavs in Beantown. Just a 2.5-point spread. We'll talk about that game in just a little bit. The Thunder in action tonight as well. 12.5-point favorite against the Atlanta Hawks. I guess it didn't do it for DRS. Didn't move the needle. No. You know, Donnie was having a great football Friday. Donnie would rather have had who should be the number one overall pick, Cam Ward or Abdul Carter.
No, we probably should have put the Academy Awards in there. Like, which one of these movies should win Best Picture? Because if you want to recap again, like, I've been doing research. We can recap again in hour number three. How about that?
You have been doing research. That is for sure. Okay, so Donnie wouldn't have wanted number one overall pick because we already did that. Who's going to run the fastest 40-yard dash this weekend at the combine? Would have been DRS's preferred FTP.
Or who he play for. Or just like a who he play for. Like, give me some of these prospects in the draft to see if I can actually guess, and we'll put them up there of who would be the fastest guy. And I'd be like, I think this guy would win it. And you would say, like, oh, he's not even a real player. So there, I failed the exam.
Yeah, but it's a fade the public. We would have had to ask the public first and then get your assessment on it.
Yeah. And I would have voted, even if I don't even know the players in the game, I'll vote and I'll put my opinion out there, even though it won't be based on anything. I love opinions.
All right, fair enough. DRS can do that. All right, so as we look at the best records right now, again, three teams at the 40-win benchmark or more, and we still have a couple of teams trying to hit that. They would need a couple of wins to do so. The Grizzlies, the Knicks, and the Nuggets. The Cavs have the best record at 48-10. They have a game advantage on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, the Thunder are the team in the Western Conference component of this. Of course, the Celtics out east along with the Cavaliers. A huge game tonight inside TD Garden. To have the best record right now, minus 130, the Cavs have the best number. Minus 120, though, Oklahoma City, of course, not all that far behind. For the Celtics to catch either team, and they're, as you can see there, 5.5 games behind even Oklahoma City, a full 6.5 behind the Cleveland Cavaliers is a 65-1 price. It is interesting, Donnie, when you take that into effect for the playoffs, because we have talked about it at length. There is very little chance the Celtics can catch the Cavaliers for that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. If those two teams were to see each other in the Eastern Conference Finals, a potential preview tonight in Boston, the Celtics will not have home floor advantage as they did last year on their way to winning an NBA championship. And if the Celtics were even able to beat the Cavaliers, of which they would be projected to do in that best of seven series, the Celtics would not have home court advantage to win an NBA championship. That would be Oklahoma City. All of those things will be impactful by the time we reach the postseason.
Yes, and the NBA, understand this, which we tell you repeatedly, is the only sport that operates this way in the betting markets. You don't see this in the NFL. Hey, best record in the NFL. Yeah, but fourth or third in the overall odds to win the Super Bowl. Like, no, they're probably the best team because they're 13-2 through 15 weeks. Same thing in hockey. Same thing in Major League Baseball. You get the point where in basketball, though, it's not a one-off once you get to the tournament. Like, right now, if I asked you, Ben, like, who is the best college basketball team out there? You might say Auburn and or Duke. Oh, look, one and two right there and very close together on who's actually going to win it based on the odds. But you look at the Boston Celtics, who don't have the best record and are games behind the Cavaliers, but it's a plus 175 and a 7-1 price point difference here. It's not plus 125 and plus 155, because in the NBA, it's like, who's getting to the playoffs, who is healthy, and who has the pedigree on winning? And that's the Boston Celtics. So I like the Cavaliers because I do think that up-and-coming team have a chip on the shoulder. They're not getting respect despite having that great record, and I agree. But I can't fault anybody, Ben, that's going to tell me, what, are you kidding me, Donnie? If the Celtics' starting five is there, their bench is healthy, they're going to be the best team in the NBA playoffs. I really can't argue with that because just based on talent alone and what they did last year, they've shown they can get the job done.
And they have been the favorites all year long. They remain the favorites right now, despite the fact that Oklahoma City is only a quarter behind. and we still consider what the Celtics have done this year slightly underwhelming, and they have 42 wins. Huge game tonight in Cleveland. We'll get you set for it up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some really marquee matchups on this Friday evening slate around the association, including a potential Eastern Conference Finals preview. In fact, by the odds right now, this should be the matchup we see in the ECF. Who is going to have home floor advantage? More than likely, it's the Cavaliers. Tonight, the game is in Boston inside TD Garden. The Celtics and the Cavs for a fourth and final time in the regular season. Boston has won two of the first three. The first and the third are most recent at the beginning of February. Cleveland was victorious back in early December. That one in the land. The Celtics both 2-1 straight up and against their spread in the three games against the Cavaliers so far. But a very short number tonight, only 2.5 in favor of the Cs. You see that total there on the right? It's 233.5 now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. DRS, a marquee matchup inside TD Garden. What's the play?
I love it. I love this game. It's fantastic. You know I love myself some Cleveland Cavaliers, but since there is like Oscar Sunday here that we're having, let's go back to another film called The Bronx Tale, where it feels like to me where the bikers come into the bar as the Cleveland Cavaliers, mess around a little bit too much, they lock the doors and tell them, now you just can't leave at this point. I think this is a Celtics night tonight to understand where we're going to be meeting in the playoffs. We know that. The tone is going to be set right now that, yes, you have the better record, and maybe we're not all that focused right now as the Celtics until we get to the playoffs, but this game absolutely means something. It's probably been a while for the Celtics to line up in a basketball game where they actually felt it was must win. But understand this. The FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey opened this line at -3.5 towards the Celtics. It now sits live at 2.5. So the public is buying into Cleveland. And there's been no bigger Cleveland backer than me on this show repeatedly backing this. I like him in this spot. This line speaks to me. And even though this line is actually speaking to me as a stone cold Cavaliers line, I think the spot is right for the Celtics. And as I said before, in a regular season where a team won the championship the year before, there's not many big games in the regular season. They're waiting for the playoffs. I think this is one night on a Friday in Boston that Boston has the full attention on an opponent, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers. Should be a great game, but I'm laying the 2.5 with the Celtics tonight.
Listen, the Cleveland Cavaliers are the best team in the NBA. They are 48-10, as we presented to you to start off this third and final hour. They are the best cover team in the NBA as well, both as a favorite and in their very few games as an underdog this year. Four games for the Cavaliers booked as a dog. They are 3-1 against the spread. They have won outright twice in those three covers. They were a dog in the first matchup against Boston. The Celtics won that game by 3, but Cleveland covered as a 6.5-point dog, and a total of 234.5 did go over. They were a favorite in the second game in early December at home against the Cs. They won that game by 4 as a slight 1.5 favorite. A total of 230 did stay under. That's one of three games this year for Boston booked as an underdog as well. Of course, the Cs have not been an underdog frequently. And the last time that Cleveland was an underdog was a very long time ago, middle of January, against Oklahoma City. In the most recent game against the Celtics, that Boston won outright, the Cs were a small dog as well. Two of our three games between these teams this year have gone under. But Donnie, you are right. In terms of a regular season game outside of the NBA Cup and in-season competition, outside of the postseason, this will have that feel, at least it should, of a postseason atmosphere tonight inside TD Garden. Again, the Cavaliers are sitting pretty. They have a 6.5 game lead over the Celtics for that top spot. But perception, Donnie, is the issue for Cleveland right now. They have the best record. They should have home floor advantage throughout the entirety of the Eastern Conference playoffs and are still booked well behind the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference crown. Boston well in to minus money. Does a Cavaliers win tonight outright change that? We shall see. But Donnie is not expecting that to be the case. Boston could show that proven playoff pedigree tonight, albeit in the regular season.
Yeah, and we're looking at the anticipated starting lineup tonight. They're all there. Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kristaps Porzingis in that starting lineup. But you're right about this one thing, because public perception does mean a lot. And very rarely, like a regular season game in the NFL, like, hey, Kansas City is going to knock off Buffalo. And that's going to shift things because you get the tie-breaking advantage. It's close. The playoffs are near. And it's not necessarily that way in the NBA as we are winding down the season. But I do believe that on a Friday game, let's just say Cleveland goes into Boston and wins this game by double digits, we're not still talking about a 7-1 price for them to win the championship. Like, that is going to move. But I do think, again, as I state, it's not really an X's and O's matchup. I just think it's one of those games for Boston where they can lock into championship mode tonight and see what they have. Is that a guarantee they win? No. And as I told you already, 3.5 down to 2.5. The public is buying to Cleveland, and rightfully so. Cleveland, nobody's thinking, oh, wow, I'm so surprised Cleveland went in and beat Boston in Boston. No, the expectations are they are supposed to do that from their side. But for me, Ben, I just look at Boston and say, you know what? Attention is here tonight. Focus is on Boston. Let's handle our business and send that message to when we do see you again in the playoffs, we'll do the same thing.
Very few regular season games can move a market drastically. Is the move on the odds for both the Celtics and the Cavs to win the East and an NBA championship going to be drastic after tonight's conclusion? Drastic might not be the right word. But Donnie, if Boston wins, booked as a minus 150 favorite to win the Eastern Conference crown again tonight, and not only are they proving they are still the best team out East, but they have taken 3 of 4 in the regular season series against the Cavaliers, that's going to be pretty tough to overlook. If the Cavs can even the season set with a victory as a road underdog in Boston, as they will be in a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup, that also would move the price as well. The Cavaliers plus 270 to win the Eastern Conference crown at this time. Know those numbers right now. Minus 150 for the C's, plus 270 for the Cavs. There's a freaking moth. You see that?
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Mothman prophecies.
There was a moth right in my face. Does the moth mean anything?
I didn't see it.
Inside TD Garden. Like, right there.
I gotta go see that.
We'll get the replay in a second. I hit it a little bit. No, it got right in front of my eyes. So at least there was that. We'll talk about a rivalry in Los Angeles between the Lakers and the Clippers and a lot more NBA action. Really good games on this Friday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The battle for Los Angeles tonight, not in the same building anymore. We go to Crypto.com Arena between the Lakers and the Clippers. What a great slate we have on this Friday. Lakers on the second leg of a back-to-back. Big win last night at home against the T-Wolves. 4 consecutive for LA, 14 other last 17. And early right now, because this game does not tip for another 12 hours until 10:10 p.m. Eastern time. The Lakers are a 4.5-point home dog. That would say to me, we're not expecting Luka Doncic and LeBron James in the fold tonight, right? That's what that would indicate to me.
Yes. Somebody's sitting out this one. We just don't know who it is, even though in the anticipated starting lineup, it does show Doncic and James, but also understand this. One team rested, one team played last night. I understand it was the same building. You get the point. But for me, that does show the -1 is the opening number in New Jersey for the Lakers to flip by 5 points the other direction.
Yeah.
That probably leads us to believe LeBron James won't play. But sometimes, like, not a normal back-to-back. Like, it is two LA teams meeting up in Los Angeles. Like, would this be the game that you sit out? And it's not a true back-to-back in the sense of, hey, we were just in Sacramento last night. Now we're flying home. Like, you're in your own building again. I don't know if anybody sits out. So that's a big move from the bookmaker to actually say, no, we know somebody's actually sitting out is what that's saying.
That seems a little bit interesting to me. The Lakers, by the way, have played to the under in 5 consecutive games. Because the Lakers had that rescheduled game last Wednesday, immediately following the All-Star break against Charlotte that they lost, they have played 5 games in the last 8 days. It has been a flurry for LA. Tonight would be game number 6 in a 9-day span. It's still a rivalry game against the Clippers, a back-to-back, but in your own home arena. Wasn't like last night was OT, although contested. What?
Now, there's another reason, Ben, where it's a guy that hasn't been playing the past couple games comes back. And when you're that big of a star, you outshine LeBron and move it. The anticipated. Hold on. The anticipated starting lineup tonight for your Los Angeles Clippers, James Harden, Chris Dunn, Kawhi Leonard, Ivica Zubac, and Norm Powell. There you go.
That's the move. That's got to be the move.
Yeah.
That is Norm Powell back into the fold. LeBron and Luka could drop 30 and 10 tonight, but if Norm is out there for the Clippers, it really doesn't mean a darn thing. Because if Norman Powell is playing... then the Clippers should be in a good spot. DRS 1-3 for LA since the All-Star break. Norman Powell has not played since before the All-Star break. 0-4 against the number. The Clippers, though, as a favorite this year, 18-13 ATS. Norm Powell could be that difference tonight.
Yeah, hopefully is that difference. And by the way, Norm Powell didn't play. So then even if he was supposed to be in the All-Star game, he probably couldn't play in the All-Star game because there was, hey, if LeBron James would have sat out, Norm Powell would have been in there. I don't know what the injury is per se at this point, but they do need that guy back in the lineup. Because anytime you have a legitimate score and three-point shooting threat, it opens up the court for everybody. And that is a big line move. So everybody expected back for the Clippers, even in the Lakers lineup, still Doncic and LeBron James listed there. We'll see if one of those sits out. But Ben is right. Like, we're analyzing this on an early game where it's like, hey, if both of those starters are in the lineup, are we seeing 2.5s, 1.5s, or back to the Lakers as a favorite? Probably not since it's a back-to-back, but it is an interesting live move nonetheless.
I would be surprised if Luka Doncic and LeBron James both play, even on the second leg of a back-to-back, and the Lakers do not close as a slight 2-2.5 point favorite. That would be a drastic move, but that, of course, is where the line stands at this moment. An important game for both LA teams. They play each other again in Crypto.com Arena on Sunday night. The Clippers maintaining a half-game lead over the Warriors for that sixth spot out of the play-in tournament. The Lakers, now with the win last night, four consecutive, are back in front based on tiebreaker advantages of the Houston Rockets in that 4-5 split for who might host in opening round playoff series. A lot of focus on LA, DRS, but not many hotter teams right now in the association than Detroit basketball. Eight straight wins for the Pistons for the first time since 2008. Looking for 9 as a slight home favorite tonight against a good Denver team that did lose last night on the road in Milwaukee, booked as a favorite. Second leg of a road back-to-back for Denver. They're now a slight underdog, as you can see. Donnie, will the Pistons make it 9 consecutive wins tonight?
I think we're doing it. I do. This line opened up overnight as -1.5 as a favorite here to the road team. The Nuggets now has flipped over to a 1.5 point favorite for the Pistons. Other outlets as high as 2.5 for the Detroit Pistons. Ride that streak till the wheels fall off. It's a Pistons night in Detroit.
We'll continue breaking down the 10-game NBA slate on this Friday and a little bit of college basketball as well. All of that next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A 10-game slate around the association on this Friday and plenty of great matchups. Can the Detroit Pistons win 9 consecutive games, riding their first 8-game win streak since 2008? The 07-08 season for Detroit, last year they won a playoff game, and right now the Pistons in prime position to get back to the playoffs. 33-26, 5-game lead now over Orlando for that 6-7 split on the right side of the play-in tournament bubble, meaning you don't have to deal with the play-in tourney. That would be Detroit by 5 games. Would be a lot to make up for Orlando and for Detroit to fall out of before the end of this regular season. Now let's head to Memphis. A Memphis matchup tonight between the Grizz and the New York Knicks. 4-point spread in favor of the Grizzlies at home. 244.5. Now, New York, as we know, Donnie, 0-7 straight up against the three NBA clubs that have won at least 40 games this year. The Cavs and the Celtics out east, the Oklahoma City Thunder out west. Memphis, second best record in the Western Conference, but only 38 wins. Same amount for the New York Knicks. Does that benefit the Knickerbockers on the road tonight?
Yeah, tonight's the night. Knicks get it done. I think they can win this basketball game. You see that line at -3.5. It's actually a little bit higher. It's -4 right now currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Nobody else across there having higher than that. Some 3.5s are still out there. You look at that total. It is high. Why? Because the Knicks are a high-scoring team in Memphis. Take this back a couple of years. Like, what are you kidding me? 244.5. That's like two games between these two teams. Not anymore under Tibbs, but also understand the Knicks did beat the Philadelphia 76ers at the Garden, which everybody beats the Sixers. But in that game, they did hold out Karl Anthony Towns, get him rested. He should be back in the lineup tonight. So Brunson, Bridges, Hart, Anunoby, and Karl Anthony Towns there. It's going to be a great basketball game. But tonight is the night where the Knicks finally show up against a quality opponent on the road with the ability to win that game outright. I won't take it money line. I'll take the four, and I'll watch it play out.
So the Knicks, of course, DRS, have been an underdog for all seven of those losses against the teams that we have mentioned, or at least in six of the seven against Cleveland, Boston, and OKC. They are 2-6 against the spread. New York as an underdog this year. 0-6 ATS as a dog against the 40-win club, but their two victories in covers as an underdog against the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. But a 2-6 ATS mark for New York. That's technically the worst cover percentage of any team booked as an underdog this season around the NBA. Yep. Before we turn our attention to college basketball, any other game on this 10-game Friday night docket, DRS, in the NBA really catch your eye?
I'll tell you what catches your eye, which is another anomaly. Do you know who's playing again tonight, Ben, at 9 p.m. Eastern out there, semi-West Coast? Pelicans and the Suns.
Yeah.
Posted price 7.5 at this point. Now, what does that tell me? You probably don't want to play Zion on a back-to-back, but I don't care. Does that mean like the Suns like, hey, must-win situation, let's get everybody back on the court? Like, how once again could you take the Phoenix Suns laying that many points when they can't beat anybody of any consequence at this point?
It's crazy.
How?
I don't know. There is no justification for saying yes. It is a second leg of a back-to-back in the same venue for both teams. And for whatever reason, despite the Pelicans having the second worst record in the Western Conference, they are playing a lot better basketball. I actually think we can point to the reason. It's Zion Williamson being healthy in the fold, in the rotation, and performing very well each and every night. His first career triple-double, a 27-point triple-double last night to lead New Orleans to the outright victory as a 7-point dog against the Suns. You can't keep backing Phoenix. You cannot keep expecting the Suns to turn things around or the 76ers to find their footing. There is too large of a sample size that would tell you otherwise. Intriguing game, DRS, just one that catches my eye. Indiana, 4.5-point road favorite tonight in Miami against the Heat. The Pacers trying to hold off the Bucks for the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference to host the opening round of the postseason. Miami firmly right now in the play-in tournament position in the Eastern Conference. 4.5-point spread in favor of Indiana. 225 and a hook is that total. Let's get you to college basketball now. Big one tonight in the Big Ten inside Mackey Arena. Number 20 Purdue riding a 4-game skid. The first 4-game losing streak, I'll confirm, I believe, for the Boilermakers since 2018-19 or 2019-20. A long time in West Lafayette, Indiana, as they host UCLA for the first time in nearly 2.5 decades. Donnie, only 13 meetings between these two schools in their men's basketball history, but a lot of commonalities. John Wooden, the greatest basketball coach to ever live, the champion of 10 national titles in Westwood, also the first ever 3-time consensus All-American at the D1 level in men's college hoops. He played for Purdue. He has a statue outside of Mackey Arena. So some similarities between these two storied programs tonight. 5.5-point spread in favor of the Boilers. Total 139.5. What do you like tonight inside Mackey Arena?
Yeah, that line's dropping. It was 140.5 this morning, a little bit earlier, now dropping to 139.5. And I do agree with that. You take a look at both of these defenses, not great by any means. The offenses are decent, but also both of these teams will let you shoot the 3-point shot. 16th in conference play, Purdue, out of 18 teams at letting you shoot the three. And then you take a look at 18 out of 18 UCLA. However, When you look at the style components here, 12th in volume from three-point range, UCLA, 11th in volume from three-point range, Purdue. So it's not as if you have like one of those top two or top three teams. It's like, good, you want to give us as many three-point shots as you want, we'll take every one that we can get. When you look at the components here of who's backing it up, both of these teams pretty stingy on defense inside the arc. And the biggest number here, when you just look at an average length of possession on offense, usually the quicker the team, the quicker the pace, a la Alabama. That's not the case here. 16th in average possession on offense, UCLA. 15th in Purdue. I don't think we get a fantastic pace in this basketball game with three-point shots that, yes, both of these teams can make them, but they don't like to take a lot about them. If we're going to say both of these teams shoot 35% or below from three-point range, this game is going to stay under. Purdue not looking in good form. You saw over the second half of that Big Ten schedule, playing much better basketball than the first half here. I would sort of look UCLA, but for me, it would be the under in this game is probably the best look.
Yeah, DRS, I can't fault it. UCLA under in six of their last seven. Mick Cronin's teams still always rely on the defensive end of the floor. Confirmed, the Boilermakers' first four-game slide since the end of the 2019-2020 season. Mm. If there was an NCAA tournament that year, Purdue probably does not get in. 16-15 that year, just 9-11 in the Big Ten. DRS, it's been a very long time for a team that finished as the national runner-up a year ago. They have dropped four games in a row. Matt Painter meeting with his players individually this week in West Lafayette. Trey Kaufman-Wren, one of the leaders, one of the best front court players in Big Ten basketball, calling a players-only meeting, understanding the importance of this tail end of the regular season for Purdue to play their best basketball into Indianapolis in the Big Ten tournament and, of course, into the Big Dance. If you look at UCLA's road record this year, and especially against the number, it's not all that bad. 4-4 ATS. But UCLA out of the Pacific time zone four times in Big Ten play. They are 0-4 straight up. And in that span, DRS, just 1-3 against the spread. They did keep it close against Illinois a couple of weeks ago in Champaign. But that's really it in terms of what UCLA has been able to do outside of that Pacific time zone. And a big game tonight for both teams that stand at 11-6 in conference play. Maryland also 11-6 after the heartbreaking defeat against Michigan State earlier this week in College Park. Those three teams tied right now, Donnie, for what would be the four spot in the Big Ten standings and would be the fourth and final double bye in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin all in front. We'll talk about this weekend in college basketball. And that includes tomorrow, which is Saturday. What's the date? March 1st, 2025. The alarms are set.
Zeno didn't know.
Zeno did not know. John Rothstein did, as did Donnie Wrightside. An A-Sun Men's Conference Tourney Preview. The first conference tournament. Donnie breaks it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tomorrow is March. This is the final day of February, March Eve, which only intensifies the chaos and madness in college basketball, although we have seen our fair share throughout this week. Donnie, let's break down the first conference tournament at the mid-major level, at the D1 level in men's college basketball, set to begin on Sunday. That would be in the Atlantic Sun. The A-Sun Conference tourney bracket is out. 12 teams in this league. Only 10 qualify for the conference tournament. And our two top seeds, that would be Lipscomb and North Alabama, have the opening round bye. The number one seed is Lipscomb, a team that Donnie bet on this week and did cash a wager. Donnie, Lipscomb and North Alabama, both 14-4 in conference play, both 22-9 straight up this year, and both split their regular season series matchup, both winning by double digits in their own home venues, and yet Lipscomb is a hefty favorite to win the conference tournament, and of course, that automatic berth to the Big Dance at the mid-major level. This is the beauty of it. Conference tournaments, it's great. You're the one seed. It's great that you won a regular season crown, but what truly matters is that automatic bid to the NCAA tournament in the field of 68. How do you evaluate those ASUN tourney odds?
Yeah, you take a look at the ASUN tourney odds and you start with Lipscomb. They are the best team in conference play. You just look at their ratings here. Number one on offense and number two on defense, do everything well. But the one thing that sometimes can get you in trouble, not saying that it will, the slowest tempo team, Ben, in the ASUN. So limited possessions doesn't mean you're running teams out of the gym with multiple, like, hey, we're down six late. Uh-oh, we're going to run our offense and see how it gets through. They should win it. But there are some other teams that you want to take a look at, particularly with Jacksonville. Because how do you win these things, Ben? Typically in a gym that is not yours, right? You want to play great defense. We know it's number one in defensive efficiency in conference play. It is Jacksonville. But also understand this. They're not a great offensive team. With their efficiency, 8 out of 12. So, Donnie, I can't trust that. But you know what they're the best at doing in conference play? Percentage-wise from three-point range. So you're going to give me a team that plays great defense and shoots the lights out from three-point range. You're always going to have a chance. Now, sometimes you want to take a look at those extracurriculars here, Ben, that I talk about. It's like, well, how could they have an advantage? You take a look at the final six games of the season for Jacksonville. They lost four of those games, which included, three games, which were in a row. North Alabama, Florida Gulf Coast, and North Florida before beating Eastern Kentucky and Stetson on the way out. So you say to yourself, one of the best players in conference play is Robert McCray. He's healthy. He'll be there, which is great. But you take a look at a big 6'9", Stephon Payne, who's missed six straight games as one of those bigs that can block shots and rebounds. There's no guarantee that he's going to play in this tournament, but with missing those 5 to 6 games, he was shown last week getting a little bit better at practice, still wearing a boot, but there's the appearance that he can play. I'm not saying they can win this tournament, but if we're taking a look at the price point being minus 155 on Lipscomb, they should win it. How about a 14-1 price on a really good basketball team that might get a key cog back for this tournament sooner than later, hopefully. That's the way I look at it here. But Lipscomb is the best team, but there's a couple teams that can challenge, and maybe it's Jacksonville that can do that.
The Dolphins are, DRS, one of the best defensive teams in this conference. You mentioned Lipscomb and the pace they play at. They try to control tempo. They make it very difficult to pass the ball effectively against them. Get your sets, get your offensive schemes started. It makes sense to see Lipscomb as that minus 155 favorite. Based on tiebreakers, they got the advantage, of course, to be the number one overall seed in this tournament. So the Bisons have a great opportunity, it would seem, to get to the biggest of all the dances. But I saw this stat from our guy John Rothstein yesterday. Just a reminder, 32 conference tournaments, including those at the high major level. Only 12 of the 32 a season ago were won by the team that won the regular season conference crown. And at the mid-major level, that means everything. At the high major level, if you have a spoiler in a conference tourney, that means a bid stealer, which would make the bubble harder to come by. And those at-large berths harder to come by as well. It is the beauty of this time of year. Donnie, the round of 64 Thursday and Friday, to me, the greatest days on the sporting calendar. I still stand by that always. But there are some, and I think it is hard to argue, during conference tournament week, whether at the mid-major level with the addition of regular season matchups coming to a close at the high major level or during high major conference tournament week, that would argue the chaos you see because of all the stakes involved is as good as you would see in the NCAA tournament, and if it trails, only by a very slim margin.
Yes, and by the way, for players like me, as I call it, as a handicapper, this is my favorite week because I'm still getting, like versus like competition is exactly what you look forward to. Teams that know each other understand it, and you have hardcore numbers that go against it, not taking a look at, hey, how is it going to be to do Duke-Illinois, two separate conferences meeting up. You saw that game. It was crazy, a 40-50-point victory. But for me, I love this week. And also, it almost is like a practice run for you. Not to pick games, but hey, this is awesome. Midway through the week on a Wednesday, you are getting college basketball games the same way you're going to get them in the opening round of the tournament. I love this week. Conference championships the next 2 weeks, everything on the line with bids to go. These kids love this part of the year, and it's a fun time to watch.
Absolutely so. And Donnie, and to Donnie's point, when you get to the big dance, it's such a focus on all of these games. And there's 68 teams, and we whittle it down to 64 by that opening round on Thursday. But the odds makers know that. The lines are sharp all week long during conference tournament week. Some advantages to be had. Donnie, let's take a look at the Saturday slate. Again, penultimate regular season weekend at the high major level. in a flurry of great games. A top 10 tilt, number 5, Tennessee, number 6, Alabama tomorrow in Knoxville. A top 20 tilt, Kentucky plays host inside Rupp Arena to number 1, Auburn. Like, come on, man. Texas A&M hosts the snap, a 3-game slide. Florida looking to bounce back after a road loss to Georgia, which ended their own 6-game win streak. Iowa State, are they healthy? Will Keyshawn Gilbert play? They host Arizona, Kansas, Texas Tech, Vandy, Missouri. Donnie, of those games, which is your favorite?
Yeah, by the way, Auburn and Kentucky is going to be great because also I bring this up where Duke doesn't have a great game against Florida State. But if you're looking for the player of the year, the Wooden Award, let's just say Auburn goes down to Kentucky and Flag is a great game. Do we see that get closer or is it a wrap where Auburn goes into Kentucky, Broom plays well, sayonara, best player, give him his award.
Jahni Broome right now a minus 250 favorite.
Yep.
Will Donnie be proven correct? Might they need to change things in the fog at Allen Fieldhouse if Kansas loses at home tomorrow against Texas Tech? Donnie, have a great weekend, my friend. We round out this show with more college basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Again, what a weekend ahead in college basketball. It is the eve of March. It is the final day of February. Great games on this Friday. A lot at stake as everybody in the Sun Belt is playing, by the way. James Madison trying to get back to the tournament, trying to win the Sun Belt tournament for a second consecutive year, holding on to a narrow lead for the top spot in the conference standings. Big one for JMU tonight as well. As we go through Saturday once again, of course, you look at the slate, so much SEC action available. Vandy, a huge quad one opportunity at home against Missouri after the road win earlier this week in College Station against Texas A&M. It is as good as it gets at the top of the board. Knoxville and in Knoxville, Tennessee and Alabama, Auburn and Kentucky inside Rupp Arena in a game we expect to see a ton of points. The odds not out just yet for these games, but a reminder for everybody. KenPom has his projection, so you can anticipate, based on home floor advantage, what we are going to see. Florida probably going to be a hefty favorite to bounce back from the road loss in Athens against UGA earlier this week against A&M, who is riding now a 3-game slide. Auburn is going to be a road favorite in Lexington against Kentucky. And that total, at least in the mid-160s, if not approaching 170. You have one of the best offensive teams in the country in Alabama against one of the best defensive teams in the country in Tennessee. What wins out tomorrow in Knoxville? That game, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And again, both Missouri and Vandy hoping to add up a quad one victory in that final game there. Keep an eye on the availability report for Texas Tech. Is Chance McMillan back in the fold? If so, can they head into Lawrence and hand KU the Jayhawks' 8th Big 12 loss? That would be the first time that Kansas had back-to-back 8-loss seasons in conference play since I don't even know when, but their first 8-loss season prior to last year in Big 12 action, or at least conference action, was in the late 80s. Let's get you to Sunday. All that we have at stake as well. A really good one in the Big 10 that will have huge implications on that regular season championship race within the conference. Michigan State, after the thrilling win in College Park, courtesy of Trey Holloman, back at home inside the Breads against number 11, Wisconsin. It's number 8, MSU. Number 11, Wisconsin. Michigan State will be a home favorite in East Lansing. These are the two best cover teams, by the way, in Big Ten action so far this season. Both really good against the number. Michigan looks to stay in the Big Ten title race, currently tied with Michigan State, at least record-wise, 14-3 atop the Big Ten. The Wolverines have been winning some very close affairs. 9 consecutive victories by 4 points or fewer, 15 total games this year for the Maize and Blue, decided by 4 points or fewer, 11-4 straight up in those matchups. Illinois trying to bolster the resume. The Illini should be an NCAA tournament team. Big one in the American. Memphis on the road in Birmingham against the Blazers. The AAC title race has not been decided yet. It has in the Missouri Valley, but Drake making sure they're playing their best ball, entering Arch Madness, one of the great mid-major tournaments that starts next week in St. Louis. We told you yesterday about a huge game within Conference USA. Liberty got the job done against Jacksonville State. Now, the Gamecocks did cover as a 7.5-point road underdog against the Flames, but Liberty gets a 4-point win. Liberty now a half-game lead for that top spot in the regular season crown in CUSA. If they win out, they're good. They take on the Owls of Kennesaw State on Sunday afternoon, and not exactly a barn burner in the Big 12 at the bottom of your list. Kansas State and Colorado. Again, a couple of the stakes available. In the SEC, Auburn, 2-game lead over Alabama. Those rivals end the year against each other to end out the regular season next weekend. Again, just a 2-game lead for the Tigers, and they're a road favorite tomorrow in Lexington. Alabama likely a road underdog against Tennessee in Knoxville. But Alabama, 4 outright wins as a dog this year. Florida, 3 games behind Auburn. In the ACC, Duke, still a -750 favorite, but Clemson and Louisville, not all that far behind. We told you the stakes for Big Ten action this weekend as well. Houston already has claimed at least a share of their second consecutive Big 12 regular season championship. It is March tomorrow. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday, live right here on the Early Line at 8 a.m. Eastern.